Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Time to be.
From the Blog Talk Radio studios in Union City, New Jersey, this is Dating Today. I'm Fernando Uribe here and you there. This is the 31st of January, the year 2017. My goodness, it's going so quickly already. It's February already tomorrow. And folks, this week's edition of Dating Today is brought to you by, as always, the Mason Civic League. You can check out this wonderful nonprofit organization online at their website, www.masoncivic.org. You can contact them at 201-706-8088 and also visit their office Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m., which is located 1200 Washington Street in the Mile Square City of Hoboken, New Jersey. Now, for those of you that are not aware, ladies and gentlemen, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010, and the Mason Civic League assists community members and groups in need. They have sponsored programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education, and activities for residents of all ages. They have a great program all month long starting tomorrow, as it will be Black History Month. So they'll have a lot of great activities to honor the contributions of African Americans in the history of the United States. Of course, Black History Month begins tomorrow and throughout the entire month of February. Again, don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Just look up the Mason Civic League and you're right on your way. All right, folks, I also want to give some acknowledgments tonight to Son Cubano Restaurant, which is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in West New York, New Jersey. Now, it's a short ride from the New Jersey Turnpike and the Garden State Parkway, also easily accessible via New Jersey Transit, Hudsonburg and Light Rail, Lyft, and Uber. It's also, again, very near the George Washington Bridge as well, again, the Lincoln Tunnel, Jersey Turnpike, and Garden State Parkway. Free parking on the premises, a wonderful, wonderful establishment. And again, it's one of New Jersey's premier award-winning restaurants, folks. It brings amazing Cuban cuisine with just an incredible skyline of Manhattan to enjoy 7 days a week. So whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, call their reservation hotline, 201-399-2020. Don't forget to like them on Facebook if you haven't already. And also, don't forget to follow them on Instagram and Twitter. And they're great partners of mine with my philanthropy. And they'll be the host venue once again for Fernando Uribe is Saving Babies, coming up Friday night, April the 28th, to benefit the March of Dimes. I'll tell you more about it in the broadcast later this evening. But again, big shout-out to Son Cubano. I also want to send a shout-out to CromCakes.com, a wonderful local media site. You can check out the website, www.CromCakes.com. That's K as in nice, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. It's run by one of my dear friends, Miss Ashley CromCakes. Great local media site. You definitely want to check it out. And it's really informative, and you'll be glad you did. I also want to send an acknowledgement to Rough Rehab, folks, which is located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. It's a no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter. You can check out their website, which is www.roughrehab.org. That's RUFFREHAB.org. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram. If you're looking to get a new pet, and whether it's a cat or a dog, Rough Rehab will steer you in the right direction and get you that pet that you've been yearning for in 2017. I also want to send a shout out, folks, here, last but not least, to FacePalm Gaming. You can follow them on Twitter at gaming_palm. You can check out their online channel, which is twitch.tv facepalmgaming311. Now, they stream content ranging from role-playing games to first-person shooter games. It's a great online community for gamers, and it's a chance for everyone to exchange ideas and tips about the games that entertain them on a daily basis. Again, follow them at gaming_palm, their website, twitch.tv/facepalmgaming311. All right, folks. Again, I want to thank them all for being such big supporters of the program. If you wish to call in tonight and opine, I'd love to hear from you. 646-649-1926. Once again, 646-649-1926. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at your_favorite_Fernando. And, of course, follow me on Twitter by just going to at theglorious_FUJ. Again, don't forget to write the show's inbox if you want to send an email, which is professorfuj@gmail.com. Again, folks, the number to call in tonight, I want to hear from you, 646-649-1926. And this evening, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to share with you here, you know, pretty, I was doing some revisions on the book, and I was sort of thinking, one of my dear friends who is sort of in the process of dating, you know, she's trying to see what her options are. You know, she heavily uses some of the dating apps, which have become very commonplace in today's dating scene. And, you know, certainly this it's difficult for a woman. She obviously is going to get inundated with a lot of choices and a lot of swipes and a lot of hellos and a lot of emails, and a lot of messages. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, like anything else, you know, she's trying to approach it from a very pragmatic perspective and try to find that guy that best, you know, matches what she's looking for. And of course, you know, I tend to, you know, bust her chops because I know that she's, you know, and I know she's listening, but and she's very politically active. She's very politically savvy. She loves to just, you know, talk politics whenever she can. She's very passionate. I give her that. You know, sometimes I know we butt heads, but we try not to talk politics at all. I think it might sort of like end up in a brawl. But in any event, I'm just joking. And in any event, she's, you know, in that dating scene right now, trying to see what her options are. And, you know, it's we were talking in general because some of the guys that she's gone on dates with recently have been very, you know, lackluster, and they haven't really given her, you know, anything to sort of want to, you know, return their calls or maybe go on a second or third date. And, you know, that's difficult sometimes. And she was telling me about, you know, very much how she's looking to get back into a relationship. She wants to get into a productive, healthy relationship. She very much would like to have a kid, you know. I know she'd make a great mom. She's very caring, very nurturing, very intelligent, you know, very warm. And, you know, I give her a lot of credit. She's someone that, you know, I know would make a great mom. And, you know, just by the way she acts with her nieces, you know, and I've seen that firsthand. And I also seen it, you know, via social media or whatever. And, you know, again, it's something that, you know, I applaud her for. And I very much, you know that she would be someone that would, you know, make a good partner for someone that she's looking for. You know, whether it's necessarily in her profession or someone with along the same political lines. It's one of those things that, you know, I know that she's very much adamant about that. And one of the things that we were talking recently, she reminded me about that over the summer, she was in a relationship for a few months and it didn't really go as planned. It was a guy that she at first really had a good connection with, and they, I know, spent time, and they were very, I guess they were sort of moving along or progressing to some extent. But I think sooner or later, there were just some flaws or just issues that sort of kept cropping up. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it didn't give her the incentive to want to continue. You know, I think, you know, we look at relationships, you know, and as we get older, I think we look at it from the perspective of that, you know, again, we have this mindset when it comes to how we view a potential partner. We look at it from the perspective of, you know, when we're in our 20s, we really look at dating very differently. You know, we're many of us become serial daters. I know I was. And even sometimes into our 30s, we can be serial daters. You know, we can sort of find the way to juggle people that we're dating. And again, the same applies for men and women. And I know that, you know, what she's shared with me recently, she's looking to be someone that is finding a person that is, you know, similar to her, I mean, she's in her, I believe, mid-30s. And, you know, I think she very much would like to find someone that she, finds appealing or, you know, again, certainly the physical is important in, you know, being attracted to someone, but I think she's also looking for compatibility along the same values and beliefs and ideas. And I know that for her, for example, you know, sharing the same political beliefs and sharing sort of the same values, I think is something that is really important to her, for example. And I know I sort of talked to her about, well, you know, could you, I mean, she's a very, very staunch, for example, very staunch liberal. You know, she's not even progressive. I mean, she's very far left. Maybe not a communist per se, but I mean, she's very far left. And I know that sometimes I always, you know, bust her chops and say, well, would you ever date a Republican? Would you ever, if you met a guy through these dating apps, whether it was an attorney in the city or someone in finance or, you know, if you go to mixers, you know, if you met someone like that, could you date them? And she very, very explicitly was like, no, I could never date a hardcore Republican. It would drive me crazy. And, you know, even like in her last relationship, there was a guy that, you know, they were pretty similar ideologically. They were both liberals. But I think he started maybe showing some tendencies where maybe she didn't agree with him on some notions and vice versa. And I think that was sort of a big sticking point for her. And I remember when she told me about it, I said, well, you know, Jess, you know, we're not going to find a person that exactly, matches our ideology, you know, point by point or belief by belief. But I think that, you know, maybe some compromise. And whether or not we look at them as flaws or anything, we can always do that. And, you know, one of the things that I've always tried to implore to my listeners and really, really stress it to them is that, you know, dating sometimes is a process. I think the courting is a process. And, you know, I think overall we find ourselves sometimes in a mission to sort of find someone just like us. And, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, some diversity and versatility is probably nice, you know, in terms of maybe not agreeing on every single thing. That might be like overly boring. But when you clash excessively, I think that could be problematic. And I don't know if it's, you know, something that, you know, when you're dating a person, if it's, you know, necessarily qualities that you, you know, will endear yourself to. And tonight, what I really wanted to cover with you tonight, again, folks, please call in. I'd love to hear from you. 646-649-1926. Once again, 646-649-1926. And what I wanted to really, you know, delve into tonight and really dissect for everybody here listening on dating today. Again, a very special shout out to my buddy Shane out in Bakersfield, California. Good to know he's all right. Good to know he's doing well health-wise. I hadn't heard from him for a while. I know some things weren't in the best of times, but glad that he's doing great. I'm glad to hear that he is happy and healthy, and I look forward to seeing him later this year at our buddy's wedding in Vermont. And, you know, I know he drops me a text every now and then that he loves listening to the show when he drives to work. He has a long commute in the morning, and he likes to listen to not just, you know, the most recent edition, but he likes to listen to previous episodes. So thank you, bro. I mean, I appreciate that. And again, to all my loyal listeners across the U.S. today here, you know, whether it's in Dallas, Texas, all the way out in Chicago, down in Miami, Florida. I got some people in the ATL in Atlanta that I know of, and, you know, the home of the NFC champion, the Atlanta Falcons. You know, good luck this Sunday trying to win your first Super Bowl there in the ATL. And one of the things I think I've been very specific about in looking at dissecting relationships. And tonight, folks, what I want to sort of give you is a very, very in-depth, you know, analysis of, you know, when you have to, well, pretty much, you know, when you will accept flaws of your partner and when you won't, and pretty much how that those could be deal breakers sometimes in a relationship. You know, like if you ultimately want a happy relationship, it's going to have to come down to, you know, when are you, you know, ultimately, excuse me, let me not say when, why are you going to have to accept your partner's flaws ultimately if you want a happy relationship, or if you think it's a relationship that's going to go somewhere, you know, where it's going to be productive, you're going to, you know, proceed to something that is going to be meaningful, you know, either cohabitation and then maybe an engagement and perhaps maybe a pregnancy, maybe a marriage, maybe the marriage and the pregnancy, who knows? And I remember, you know, as I was doing some revisions of the book recently, I looked at my notes in my journal and I remember you know, this is a few years back, and I remember riding, you know, taking the light rail home from work. And I remember I had overheard two ladies, you know, right near me in the car, not too far away, where I could hear them. You know, it wasn't like they weren't trying to speak lowly, but they weren't trying to, I think, broadcast it either, I think. But they were loud enough that I heard them, and my hearing's pretty good. I remember that they were just like sort of nonchalantly discussing relationships. And first of all, folks, before you accuse me of spying or being a creeper, just allow me to inform you that, you know, I usually don't make a habit of listening in on people's conversations. But, you know, again, it's not a habit of mine. However, you know, it's sort of like these two ladies made it like a point, and it was like a goal of theirs to sort of inform the entire train, or at least the car, of their conversation, which, you know, made it challenging for me and listen for everybody else too, to sort of ignore them. And I remember, you know, sort of like the crux of the conversation between them went something like this. And I remember just looking at my notes, you know, one of the girls had been dating a guy for a while, and all they ever do is fight. And, you know, when the friend asked her, you know, what were the arguments about, you know, the girl answered back, well, it's little things that add up to big things. And, you know, she's pretty much saying, like, I'm just now discovering, like, he may not be the person who I thought he was. And, you know, the friend immediately asked her, well, what do you mean? And the girlfriend replied, well, it's kind of hard to explain, but I just feel that he's changed since we first started dating. And at that point, like, my interest got piqued real quick. Like, I was like, okay, now I was into this, you know, and I was trying not to make it obvious, but now I was intrigued. Now I really wanted to listen in more because I wanted to hear what the conversation entailed. And it was a pretty decent, you know, train ride, so I knew that hopefully they weren't going to get off anytime soon. So at least, you know, I had the chance to listen at least for a couple minutes, you know. And I remember, you know, when I heard that on that conversation, I remember sort of, you know, in that same time period talking to a friend of mine. And I remember, you know, sort of, you know, and I was pretty much, you know, I was uttering the same words to one of my best friends about that as we were out, you know, having coffee. And, you know, with that being said, like, I made it a point to stay silent, and I just really focused intently on the remainder of the conversation between these two girls. And it was like sort of like the girl with the boyfriend continued to list all the changes that occurred in the relationship, you know, along with, you know, additional reasons like why she no longer feels that the man she's dating is quote the one, you know. And she would say things like, well, he snores, he leaves the toilet seat up, he occasionally suggests we split the check, he doesn't immediately text me back, he never wants to hang out with my friends and me. And I remember when I sort of like made a point not to sort of make it obvious, but I was kind of annoyed when I heard her, when she said, well, he doesn't make close to six figures a year. And in my mind, you know, it's like, as I'm listening to this girl who seems so pretentious, like, I didn't think they were exactly deal breakers. Because listen, after all, like, no one's perfect. And expecting anything but is like just a recipe for disappointment. And I get that, you know. And listen, I'm 41. I'm going to be 42 now in May. And the way I try to give advice to my friends when it comes to dating, and they ask me, hey, Fernando, you know, we trust your guidance, and, you know, what do you think? It's sometimes, you know, it can be problematic, you know, about sort of dissecting, you know, what to put up with and mate and what not to, you know. And then when so going back to the conversation I was overhearing, so when that girl was asked by her friend if the guy treated her well and if she loved him, the girl answered back like, well, I mean, he's really sweet and attentive, and I know he truly cares for me. Like, you know, how could I not? And then, you know, she added like, but I just don't think we're the right fit. And it's sort of like as she said those words, it was like impossible to ignore like this contradiction, which like dripped from every syllable as she talked. You know, it's like almost like immediately like my interest like dissipated and then transformed into like overall irritation. And I'm sitting there like, wow, like, this girl was really, really annoying. And I could tell everybody else in the car as they were listening were like, I think, just as annoyed as I was listening to this. So when my stop arrived, I was beyond relieved that the double doors opened and I could like just make my exit quickly. And as I was walking home, I found myself thinking about, at the time, you know, sort of like my own relationship with the woman I was dating at the time some years ago. And yeah, listen, in the beginning of the courtship, yeah, you know, there's a lot of bliss. I'm not gonna lie. You know, I think that, you know, our stomachs are constantly filled with butterflies, and there's a broad smile that we just seem to sport every day. And it feels like every day was an adventure, and as like time elapsed and the relationship progressed, like I found myself questioning whether or not this girl was right for me, you know, and right there and then, you know, as I started thinking about that, I started thinking, well, number one, there's like a 13 year gap between us already when we were dating, you know, and although there were like a lot of similarities between us in terms of our temperament, the fact that we can remain very calm, we never really, you know, raised each other's ire to the point where we started getting volatile with each other. You know, we shared a lot of interest in terms of where to eat. We liked the same music. We liked the same books. We both loved reading. We liked the same type of movies and shows, you know, and that was great. But there were also like a lot of differences. You know, for example, like we had very, you know, different views on, let's say, on marriage and children. And I remember, you know, like I wanted both. And I had sort of hinted at that, you know, whereas, you know, she was still trying to decipher whether, you know, I mean, I don't want to make her out to be completely stupid. I mean, she was not the brightest bulb in the pack. But I think, you know, there were moments I think she was trying to decipher whether or not a tomato was a fruit or a vegetable, you know, and let alone, you know, whether or not that was the most important thing in life and how it factored into it, you know. And it sort of annoyed me because it was like, so, you know, the marriage and children part, I can get it, you know, but I think when she was just sort of thinking about obscure things, you know, we started realizing that I think they became bigger things, you know, and, you know, I look back on those years and, you know, it gets me thinking, you know, like it wasn't until we spent time apart when I discovered, you know, sort of like the significant role that she played in my life at the time. You know, it was like during that brief period that I realized how much I truly cared for her and how I didn't want to go through life without her by my side. And I said to myself, you know what? She's not perfect. She can be moody. She can be stubborn. She could be very complex in terms of her mood swings and in terms of, you know, what she was looking to do in her life. And, you know, I think I kind of approached it from, you know, maybe those are characteristics that I can shape, into, you know, the woman I love, you know, and those are sort of things that maybe I can modify with time. And yeah, sure, we had opposing views on some topics, and sometimes we found ourselves arguing because of them, you know, not necessarily politics, but I think the way we would want to go out, where, what venues, what we want to do for enjoyment. But again, you know, even though we argued like that, it didn't make our bond any less special or diminish the way I felt about her, you know? And to me, it's like, when I think about looking back on those years prior, and I thought about that as I was looking through my journal and looking at those notes from that year, as I'm, you know, trying to compile, you know, as I'm trying to compile revisions for the book, it's sort of like, it reminded me, like, that's probably why the conversation was so annoying to me, listening to these two girls who are like, well, the one girl seemed very whiny. You know, the reality is, folks, that relationships aren't crafted to be perfect. In fact, sometimes it's within the imperfections where the magic, I think, truly lies in a relationship. You know, loving someone, you know, really, truly loving someone requires a certain amount of compromise and patience. And it's being able to love this person at their worst and stand by them when life becomes difficult. Because if there's anything that I've learned from dating in all my years, folks, is that there won't always be butterflies and smiles, as far as I'm concerned. You know, there are going to be times when you want to scream and say things you probably shouldn't, and frustrating moments where that you never want to speak to your significant other again. But at the end of the day, you know, what matters most is, you know, your devotion and loyalty to one another. You know, if you feel it's that strong. And, you know, only someone, I can tell you, you know, from experience, only someone who has a true understanding of love can comprehend this. And after all, like you wouldn't want to be in a relationship with someone who didn't completely accept you. So why would you expect anything different from your partner? And that's sort of the question that I've always asked. And I know I've written about that in one of the chapters, and it gets me to that point where, yes, all those qualities matter. And, you know, if you're able to love someone and have devotion to them and some loyalty, you know, that matters greatly. You know, but of course you have scenarios where, you know, you have to sort of be realistic, and sometimes you look at your partner and look at, the reality of whether or not this person is healthy for you and whether or not this person is a good fit. And I remember some years back dating a woman that was, I would say probably, she was 10 years younger than me. She was 10. And, you know, we had a good relationship. I remember this was right around probably the beginning of 2010. Right around New Year's 2009, going into 2010 and the duration of 2010. And I remember dating her and, you know, we had some good times and we were one of those couples that looked very good together. I know that, you know, my parents looked at us in person and all my friends, you know, looked at us, not with envy, but pretty much I know my friends were like, well, hey, listen, Fernando, you know, Fernando is always, you know, knows how to rock it. And I remember, you know, she was a Central Jersey girl. She was very much came up, you know, she was brought up in a very strong Italian household. I wouldn't call her a Jersey Shore type of girl, you know, with the big fingernails and the big hair, but, you know, she was Italian. You know, she had that little Italian temper. You know, she was, you know, one of those, you know, wouldn't mind going up being calling you a stunats, you know, if she had to, you know. And you know, despite that, like, I remember, you know, we got along fairly well. The distance wasn't considerable, I think, in terms of, you know, where she lived in Central Jersey was maybe like a 40-minute car ride. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't bad. And then, of course, you know, we sort of, you know, transitioned to attempting to do something sort of long, you know, long distance, and that wasn't working. But even, you know, leading into that, and we had dated for about almost a year. And I remember that during that time, you know, I started, well, listen, we both developed feelings for each other. And I remember how I felt with her and vice versa. And, you know, some years went by until we sort of ran into each other again and we sort of made peace with each other. And I think we sort of were able to like sort of clear the air about where we went wrong. And, you know, she felt very apologetic about how things went south with us and, you know, sort of took responsibility, which, you know, didn't really help. I was happy for me because it gave me closure because some years had passed and I never really got the closure I thought I needed or deserved. But, you know, leading into that our relationship dissolving, you know, we started looking at, you know, what flaws can I accept and what flaws can I not accept? And I remember that one of the things that some of my friends had brought to my attention was the fact that, yeah, you know what, Fernando, as long as you're happy and you love her, I mean, she's hot, you know, hey, you know, good for you, man. You know, I can't blame you for dating her or, you know, sometimes putting up with what you have to put up with, you know, her temper and sometimes her bossy nature. Imagine she was younger than me, much younger, you know, 10 years, but she still sort of found this way to have this inner personality. But I remember that I consistently could see, number one, that I think she was trying to mold me very much. I think she was trying to mold me into what she wanted in a partner. Yes, she told me right to my face, there are a lot of things I love about you, and this is what I like about you. These are the qualities that attract me to you. These are the qualities that make me want to say, hey, I'm happy, you know, spending time with you because you do A, B, and C for me, and that makes a difference. And then, you know, it was sort of like part of, I think, some of the flaws that she viewed as flaws was the fact that I wasn't maybe very cooperative or that I was stubborn to her. But I consistently, what I tried to sort of overlook was the fact that, yeah, she was trying to change me. She was pulling me away from my social circle. Not because I had to be hanging out with my friends all the time, because I didn't, you know, I spent the majority of my time with her on weekends. You know, she either came up here to spend time with me, or I will go down, you know, by her and spend the weekend by her, you know. So pretty much my weekends were, you know, either down in Central Jersey, down the shore, or up here by me. And, you know, I could see consistently, you know, this effort of hers to sort of, you know, pull me away from my social circle, where I ended up missing a lot of birthdays sometimes because she just didn't want to go. She wasn't happy with what she was wearing, or she didn't want to go into drive into Manhattan or go to a birthday party. She didn't want to, you know, be bothered. And that, you know, and I felt bad about that because I know that at the end, you know, it embarrassed me, where I pretty much had to sort of, you know, take the hit and say, well, you know, sorry guys, I can't make it today. And I know that sort of put a strain on a lot of my friendships, because I know that when it came time for my birthday, or it came time to going to one of my charity events, they always made it a point to go, and they always made it a point to come support. And when I wasn't reciprocating, I can understand why they were angry, you know. And I had told her, I'm like, you know, I just feel like you're trying to just tear me away from what I'm trying to balance in my life, you know, and you're trying to change me. And, you know, those were slowly but surely, as I started seeing that behavior and those qualities, I said to myself, no, this isn't right. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't deserve this. You know, I would never do that to anybody. I would never try to change a woman. You know, listen, I've dated a lot of women in my lifetime, and I've dated very different women in my lifetime. I've dated different type of professionals, from attorneys to CPAs to teachers, you know, professors, you know, academics like myself, and all different types of professionals. Okay, and I pride myself on the fact that, you know, I think I can formulate a pretty knowledgeable stance on dating. And one of the things that, you know, I know for a fact that I would never do to any of the women that I ever dated was try to change them dramatically. If there was some bad habits or some self-destructive habits, oh yeah, I would definitely interject. You know I mentioned in previous shows a girlfriend I had in 2005 to about 2007. You know, we were off and on for a little bit, and you know, we dated for a while. You know, and we had something good going, but I remember that her drinking was out of control, and who she became when she drank was unacceptable, and that was something that was sort of like a deal breaker for me. And I remember that, you know, tonight what I really wanted to sort of share with you folks is, you know, yes. Are there times to accept some flaws in our partners? Yes. Nobody's perfect. You're not going to date a mirror image of yourself. Okay. It'd be nice, you know, don't get me wrong, but no one's going to find that. It's very rare when you date someone that can be ideally like your twin. That's very rare. You know, where you have sort of the same likes, you like everything, you never argue. I don't want to say that can be a little boring. It can be a little monotonous and whatever, and that's fine. If that's what you're into and you find peace with that, okay, that's on you. But chances are that's not what allows for a healthy relationship. To say nothing of the fact that, you know, sometimes you want a little of that versatility and diversity in your relationship, you know. But there also comes a time when you have to really sit down and assess, you know, what are you willing to put up with? You know, what are you willing to cope with? And I can tell you that, you know, in my years and having gone to counseling to talk to a professional about my feelings, about my thoughts, and, you know, where I stand in my relationship or my mindset, you know, whether or not this woman's cut out for me, whether or not I really want to, you know, continue on. And one of the things I remember sort of looking back to, you know, that relationship back in 2010, I remember her name was Danielle. And I remember just, you know, it was hard to sort of let each other go. You know, we had considerable problems letting each other go. I think there was a little of attachment there. There was sort of a very sort of a deep investment, you know. We were attached to each other in a sense, you know, and it was hard to let each other go. And I remember pulling the plug on her because I said, listen, you know, we don't have the same in terms of value. I don't mean values like, you know, politically. I'm talking about the same values, about like what we're looking for in the future, what we're looking for in terms of future plans. And to her credit, you know, she was 10 years younger than me. She had started a business early on. When I first met her, she had just started a business. And, you know, she was very invested in that. And that was going to take away a certain amount of time. And listen, I would never be a person that would ever, ever begrudge someone for following their career or being career oriented, because I'm career oriented. I'm very invested in my career. You know, I've worked hard to get to where I'm at, very hard. And I've had some luck along the way. I think sometimes you have to, you know, you can work as hard as you want and you can, you know, and sometimes you make your own luck, but by the same token, you know, you need some luck along the way, along from the strong work ethic. So I wouldn't begrudge her that, but I just knew that, you know, she wasn't as invested in what I was looking for, or that I knew that, you know, our relationship was going to continue becoming a little more volatile and more volatile. And it was showing signs of that. You know, we started arguing over very simple things. You know, even spending time with family was becoming a chore and laborious when it wasn't originally. And, you know, it built up over time. And, you know, I remember when we sat down and had the conversation, I remember she looked at me and said, well, you know, do we love each other? What do we want to do? I remember looking at her and I said, I love you. I like to think you love me. I like to think that we're in love with each other and we've tried, but clearly you're like, you're just on a different path than what I'm looking for. You're on a different path than what I am, than what I'm looking at. And she looked at me honestly, and to her credit, I thought she was going to deny it, but she said, no, Fernanda, you're right. You know, we're not on the same page. We're not. And I think, you know, if this is what you're looking for, I don't know if I can give it to you. And when she said it to me, I said, okay, well, if that's the case, then all right. Then it's not productive for us to stay together. It just isn't. And, you know, at first she looked at me like, well, is this the right move? And then I said, well, Danielle, I mean, listen. I mean, are we really going to look at this from a realistic perspective? You know, slowly but surely, this relationship is displaying signs of deterioration. And as much as we try to work at it or we try to address it, it doesn't seem to be sort of healing. It seems to be like that scab that, you know what, we keep picking at and it's never really going to heal. And that's how I felt about this relationship, you know. And she wasn't, she's a good woman. You know, I remember we kept in touch and we, you know, remained civil, I think, for a little while, for a few months after we had broken up. And then it sort of just became very hostile and we never spoke again. And it was upsetting because I know that I think there were still some unanswered questions and some unanswered issues that I, for me, looked at it from the perspective of, well, you know, I think maybe we should, you know, maybe not, you know, do that, you know, and maybe, you know, try to be a little more, you know, understanding to each other and stuff like that. And you know what happened? I remember that at the end of the day, like she said to me, you know, I don't know if I can really, you know, be friends with you. I don't know if I can stay friends with you. You know, if we're not together, I don't know if we should talk anymore. And it became sort of like just very hostile. And that was unfortunate. But I remember that she was one of the exes that I had where I knew we were, like, you know, I was happy that we were able to stay civil and be friends in a sense. And like, you know, because we cared for each other. There wasn't any animosity. There wasn't any, there wasn't any sort of hatred or deep dislike for each other. And, you know, that's great. You know, if you can achieve that in a relationship, when you break up, that's awesome. And if you can accomplish it, that's great. The chances are the stats are not in your favor. That's not really going to happen. You know, but what I would say to you is that I think that, you know, moving forward, you have to really sit down, like I said, do like a very big assessment, you know, about, you know, what you're willing to accept in terms of flaws. Because at the end of the day, you know, when you sit there in a relationship, you know, a relationship is perfect, folks. You know, for the guys listening, you know, you're not going to find a woman with each and every quality you're looking for. You're not going to find a woman that maybe is going to be the most ideal. And ladies, the same thing. You may not find the guy with each and everything on your checklist. You know, maybe the majority, maybe like 90% of it. You have to sort of sit down and think, you know, that 10%, how overwhelming is it? And I've been in relationships in my lifetime where, you know, you look at the woman you're dating and it's like, you know, about 80% of what she represents is something, okay, you can appreciate and applaud and say, you know what, I'm down with her. And I think that she embodies qualities that I look for in a partner. And, you know, maybe this 20% I can overlook. And you know what, there have been moments when I can't overlook it because it's just not healthy. And, you know, I referenced this before, you know, one of my favorite scenes from Sex and the City, the movie in 2008, which by the way, I'm very happy to hear that the script has been finalized and they have already started filming for Sex and the City 3. So it's kind of interesting to see when that comes out, how the ladies will fare in that movie. But anyway, for those of you that are fans of the show and the movie, you know, again, I'm about to, you know, issue a spoiler. I mean, it's 9 years later. I'd like to think you've all watched the movie already. You know, it's when Miranda's deciding what to do with Steve. You know, they went through a very, very volatile period. They went to counseling. They, you know, sat down and looked at, you know, whether or not they should continue. And then, you know, they just, she sort of made a list, you know, the pros and cons of what Steve represented. And, you know, and of course, you know, as Carrie Bradshaw was narrating the scene, you know, she made it very clear that, you know, while Steve maybe had more negatives than positives, it was just one of those things where, you know, Miranda just looked in the mirror and said, well, okay. And, you know, there's a very famous line in that movie that, you know, I think carries a lot of weight when we think about relationships. You know, Carrie said to Miranda during their lunch, their sort of brown bag lunch that they had in the park, and she looked at her and said, well, you know, sometimes it's not always logic. It's love. You know, sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's not always logical. It's emotional. You know, as much as you want to, you know, rely on your brain to give you the best guidance, you have no choice but to sort of defer to your heart. And I understand that premise. Because I've lived that, and I feel that everybody listening tonight at one point or another has deferred to that. Let me be very clear. Is this the absolute? No, it's not. Because I can tell you that while there may be a clash between what your head is telling you and your heart is telling you, and many times we pick our hearts, and it can work out. But sometimes we pick our hearts, and it doesn't work out. And those are instances where, you know, unfortunately, it's sort of buyer's remorse where we're going to say, I should have listened to my brain. And the problem is you're not going to know that. I mean, there's no clear-cut sign or manual that's going to say, you know what, always go for your head because your head is going to steer you in a better direction. If you ask me right now to quantify a percentage for you as to whether or not, you know, what's the best way to deal with, you know, a relationship, and when you look at possibility of your partner and whether or not, you know, you have, you know, the best course to move forward in, when you sit down and you look at, okay, what are you willing to accept about your partner's flaws? What are you willing to do to accept and work through? You know what the reality is? That I think as you get older, you realize that, you know, you have to sort of want peace. You have to sort of, you know, want to feel happy. And if you don't feel at peace, and if you don't feel like you can be yourself, and you feel that maybe there's something holding you back, and perhaps your partner's doing that, I hate to tell you, folks, you know, as much as you can love this person, you know, they may not be the best choice for you. And I know that for many people listening today, that's hard to hear. I can tell you from experience that's what happens sometimes. You know, you can love someone deeply and you can care for them. And, you know, sometimes letting them go is difficult. Letting them go feels like almost impossible. But, you know, if you're going to be a mature adult about it and you're going to, you know, look at, well, you know, is this person the best fit for me? You know, what does your head tell you? What does your heart tell you? I mean, don't rely on polls. Don't rely on asking your parents, don't rely on, you know, what your friends tell you. Because I can tell you honestly, throughout the years, I've had friends that sometimes have given the best advice when it's come to my relationships. And there are times when, you know what, there are times that, you know, that they don't. That sometimes they just maybe steer you the wrong way. Not because they're jealous or because they want to deny you happiness. They're human. They make mistakes. They make mistakes in judgment. You know, I know for a fact, I've told some friends of mine that, you know, some of the women that they dated maybe are not the best choices for them. You know, I can tell you, listen, I can give you a good example. A buddy of mine who's engaged, when I first met his fiance, and this is after many, many months of dating, and he had told me all about her. He had told me how he felt about her as opposed to, let's say, previous girlfriends. And I sat there and I listened to him. And I remember that when I met her, eventually, I just knew that, you know what? Okay, awesome. And not that he needed my approval. Of course not. He already had proposed to her. He didn't need that. He didn't need my seal of approval. And I met her before he got engaged to her. But the point was that I remember in previous relationships when he dated certain women, I didn't go out of my way to be an asshole about it. I went out of my way to just be cautious and to be a good friend and to warn him. And I didn't do it to be confrontational. I didn't do it to be argumentative. I didn't do it to be combative. I simply said, hey, okay, you know, there's going to come a time when he's going to ask me my opinion. What do you think of so-and-so? And I'm going to tell him. And the great thing was when we had the conversation, I knew at first it kind of bothered him. But he knew that I was coming from a good place. He knew that I was coming from a perspective of concern. Because at the end of the day, like, it's my friend's happiness. And I kind of knew that this one girl wasn't a good fit for him. And he wasn't sure either. I know it bothered him, but I know when they broke up, he said to me, you know, Fernando, you were right. I should have listened to you. And I did not take any satisfaction in that conversation because I said, listen, this is a roll of the dice. This is not an exact science. I'm not going to always get it right. You're not always going to get it right. He sat me down and told me, well, I don't feel that this woman's good for you. He's told me this in previous years. Well, other women I dated, I think she holds you back. I think that she can be very just, you know, she's not a good fit for you, Fernando. You know, I'm happy for you. If you guys are happy and you guys are doing well, God bless you. You know, I don't see it. And I respected that. I didn't get confrontational. I didn't get hostile. I didn't get, defensive. I said, okay, great. You know, and again, I think in closing tonight, folks, you know, I hope that this was beneficial for you. I hope that you're able to sort of get a perspective of, you know, when you're dating someone for a certain amount of time and, you know, you're forced to look at flaws, you're forced to look at shortcomings in the relationship, you know, it's important to really assess what's the best fit for you. As you get older, it doesn't get easier, you know, because you want to pray that you make the right decision. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, I hope that tonight's podcast goes a long way in helping all my loyal listeners tonight, especially for those of you that are in a relationship and maybe you're hitting that crossroad. Well, you know, it's time to sit down and assess. Does it make you a bad person for assessing what's best for your future and for the future of your partner? So think about that, folks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, I really appreciate tuning in tonight here. If you missed any part of the broadcast, you know, gladly. Right afterwards, yeah, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday. Yeah, well, you'll have tonight's brand new episode and also all my previous episodes in this exciting podcast. Once again, I want to thank my sponsor, the Mason Civic League. Folks, you can check out their website, www.masoncivic.org. They're located 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. You can visit their office Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. You can also call them directly, 201-706-8088. Ms. Tanya Garcia will be more happy to help you out and answer all of your questions about this great local nonprofit organization. Again, make sure you check them out, www.masoncivic.org. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget to like them on Facebook as well. Updates happen quite frequently, so always check out their pages. There's always good stuff going on with the Mason Civic League, especially now, starting tomorrow. It is Black History Month. There'll be a lot of great programs, workshops, and, you know, just activities for residents here to acknowledge the contributions of African Americans here in the United States. And again, as tomorrow is the commencement of Black History Month. All right, folks, I just want to send an acknowledgement to Son Cubano, a great restaurant here locally, www.soncubanonj.com. They're located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in western New Jersey, right outside the Lincoln Tunnel. Easy accessible by the Lincoln Tunnel or the George Washington Bridge, New Jersey Turnpike, Garnsey Parkway, New Jersey Transit, Hudsonburg and Light Rail, as well as catching an Uber or Lyft. It's easy to get to at Son Cubano. Now, whether it's lunch or dinner or any special occasion, call the reservation hotline, 201-399-2020 for the best Cuban cuisine you're going to find anywhere in the Northeast. It's always Son Cubano. Again, follow them on Instagram and Twitter, and don't forget to like them on Facebook. I also want to send an acknowledgement, ladies and gentlemen, to CromCakes.com, a great local media site. Check them out. Great website, very illuminating and informative. Just simply by going to www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M. Also, make sure you check out www.roughrehab.org. That's R-U-F-F-R-E-H-A-B.org. Rough Rehab is located at 360 Route 46 in Mount Licks, New Jersey. It's a very reputable, no-kill, northern New Jersey-based animal shelter. So if you're looking for that pet that's going to just, you know, complete you, whether it's a cat or dog, Rough Rehab will get you into the pet of your choice. And believe me, you're going to make a very, very special pet very happy. And in turn, they'll make you happy as well. I also want to send a special acknowledgement, folks, to Facepalm Gaming. Make sure you follow them on Twitter, @gaming_palm. You can also check out their online channel, which is twitch.tv/facepalmgaming311. Again, they stream content ranging from role-playing games to first-person shooter games. And it's a great online community for gamers. Gives them an opportunity to exchange ideas and tips about the games and entertain them on a daily basis. So again, special thanks to Facepalm Gaming, Crumbcakes.com, Rough Rehab, Sonkwano. Again, I want to thank our dedicated sponsor, the Mason Civic League, for bringing the best 30-plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere online, folks. You won't find it anywhere. Trust me. Make sure every Tuesday night you are here on Blog Talk Radio and tune in to Dating Today. Good night. Atlanta, Georgia, the home of the NFC champion Atlanta Falcons. Got some friends down there in Atlanta. Best of luck as you hopefully will win your first Super Bowl this Sunday in Houston in Super Bowl 51. And as always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away.